Welcome to the Wetoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Let's pray as we dive into God's Word. Father, we are so thankful for this incredible vision that you've given to us. It is not man's idea, it is your idea. It is a God-sized vision that is going to require every single one of us to play our part, to take our place, to ensure that vision becomes reality. We are standing on the cusp of something great. You've been faithful to us over the last 40 years, but we know you have even greater in store for us. Now, Lord, as we look into the future, you're calling us to be bold, strong, and courageous. According to your word this morning, teach us what it's going to take, because our desire is not just to hear the stories of the past, but to see you do something in our day. And so by your word, encourage us, instruct us, and shape us to be a bold, strong, and courageous generation that is going to add a brick to the story of what you are doing through Wetoto Church for your glory, in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen and amen. Come on, in your Bibles, let's turn to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. And right now, we're right in the middle of a sermon series on our theme, bold, strong, courageous. And we are walking through the book of Joshua to understand what this really means. God has given us a word for the year as the Wetoto family, bold, strong, courageous. But what does it really mean? And so as we are journeying through the book of Joshua, it is getting clearer what God is calling us to. And as we journey through the book of Joshua, it's really the story of how God called Joshua to step into leadership after Moses had died. And now Joshua is taking on the leadership of the nation of Israel and is leading them into the promised land. And through this journey, we are learning lessons from that story of what it means to be bold, strong, and courageous. We're learning this as a church family because God has given us a great vision. But we are learning this as individuals because, listen, my brother, my sister, God has a great purpose and plan for your life. And God wants you to be bold. God wants you to be strong. God wants you to be courageous. I want you to know that the Lord your God is with you, and you will experience all that God has in store for you. But it is important that we dive into these stories and have an open heart and mind and allow the Lord to teach us, and let us take these principles and begin to live them out. We've looked at the story of Rahab in Joshua chapter 2. We've looked at the story of the crossing of the Jordan from Joshua chapter 3. Last week we looked at the story of the 12-stone memorial from Joshua chapter 4. And take these principles, live by them, and in your own life, you will see God lead you into his promises for you. And today, as we get ready to turn to Joshua chapter 5 and learn lessons from Gilgal, Gilgal is really the place where the children of Israel, after they had crossed the Jordan, camped. This was the first place where they stopped in the promised land, and it was east of the Jordan. They've crossed the Jordan, they settle at Gilgal, and this is after, of course, in this place, Joshua sets up the 12-stone memorial so that they could remember what God has done, help them to cross into the promised land on dry ground. But as they settle at Gilgal, God required something of them. And that's what we want to learn from today. Some lessons from Gilgal. So in your Bibles, Joshua chapter 5, we're going to read from verse 1 to 12. Here's what the Bible tells us. Now, when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melted in fear and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, "Make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again." So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeath Haraloth. Now this is why he did so. All those who came out of Egypt, in other words, all the men of military age, died in the wilderness on the way after leaving Egypt. All the people that came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness during the journey from Egypt had not. The Israelites had moved about in the wilderness 40 years until all the men who were of military age when they left Egypt had died, since they had not obeyed the Lord. For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land he had solemnly promised their ancestors to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So he raised up their sons in their place, and these were the ones Joshua circumcised. They were still uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate the produce of Canaan. Joshua chapter 5 starts by giving us a picture of what is happening in Canaan. It tells us that the Amorite kings and the other Canaanite kings were full of fear because they had the story of what God had done for the children of Israel. They'd heard about how he parted the Red Sea. They heard about how he had parted the waters of the Jordan River. And now the nation that God was going to use to drive them out of their land was now in the promised land. The judgment they knew was coming was now upon them. Israel now have their feet in the promised land. And so the kings were afraid. And they didn't want to face the Israelites in battle. The Israelites are camped at Gilgal, and God instructs Joshua to circumcise all who hadn't been circumcised. And in this brief story, there are three things that I want us to take home today. Because as you and I pursue God's bold vision for our lives, these are principles you cannot forget. These are principles you cannot miss out on. The difference between you and inheriting the promises God has for you, the difference between you and possessing the future God has for you, are dependent on these three principles. So this is not the news read to you by Brian Navajo. This is God's word. I want you to open your heart right now and receive it, because this is going to make the difference for you in Jesus' name. And I want you to write it down, and I want you to pray over these things, and I want you to begin to live them out, because watch out, you will see God do something amazing in your life. What lessons do we learn from Gilgal? First lesson we learn as we step out in courageous action to pursue God's bold vision for our lives is this: God requires our commitment. I will say that again. As you step out in courageous action to pursue God's bold vision for our lives, I want you to know this morning that God requires our commitment. You see, although God will move mightily to see his vision fulfilled in your life, although God will stop at nothing to ensure that his plans and purposes for you come to pass, We are not simply to stand by and watch what is happening. God is calling you and I to be active participants in the fulfillment of His vision. God requires you and I to be all in. God wants you to play an active role in how His vision plays out in your life and through your life. See, after the Israelites had crossed over on dry ground, here's what He required of them in verse 2 to 5. Bible says, at that time the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeath Haraloth. And this is why he did so. The Bible helps us understand that all those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age, died in the wilderness on the way after leaving Egypt. Remember, they'd walked around the wilderness for 40 years. All the people that came out had been circumcised. But all the people born in the wilderness during the journey from Egypt hadn't. And so God is saying, before you go about possessing the territory, before you go about pursuing the vision I have for you, God required they were circumcised. Now, why would God require this of them? In order to understand this, you have to go back to Genesis chapter 17. God had commanded Abraham that as a sign of the covenant between him and Abraham, and as a sign of the covenant between God and the descendants of Abraham, there was a physical sign. That sign was to be circumcision. And so as they now are on the cusp of the promise that had been given, God says, wait. Before you go about possessing the territory, before you go about vision, because you know, as human beings, we love going for it. Hashtag go for it, amen? Oh, we love to go for it, but God says, wait. It's something I require of you. All of you are to be circumcised. Circumcision was that physical sign of the covenant. In other words, although they were descendants of the one who received the promise, there was something missing. Because you see, with God, priorities have to be in order. And He's saying to them, yes, you are descendants, but today is time for us to renew this covenant. I want your commitment. Yes, I am in covenant relationship with you as my people. But I want you to cross the line and demonstrate your commitment. You see, God doesn't have a problem bringing about for us what He has promised. But God is not just about giving us stuff. God wants your heart. God wants my heart. And so He required this circumcision of them. Now, why? When you think about the covenant that God made with Abraham, and you can go to Genesis 17 in your Bible, you begin to say it was a beautiful covenant. First of all, it was an everlasting covenant. Because our God is a God of covenant. And He fulfills, He's faithful to His covenant. Abraham was to be a father of many nations. He was going to be fruitful. Nations would come from him and kings would come from him. At the time when God makes His covenant with Abraham, Abraham is in the land of Canaan, and so God made him a promise that this would be an everlasting possession for you and your descendants. And so he required, you know, God was making a commitment, a required commitment of him, so He asked for circumcision, that He would slice the flesh, that He would go through some painful stuff to demonstrate His commitment to that covenant. God will always play His part, but you also need to play your part. And Abraham was circumcised, and that sign was to be among his people forever. You see, in Genesis 17, 9, 11, and 14, Bible says, God, this is what God said to Abraham. As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people because he has broken my covenant. God is so faithful. He brings them right to the verge. The expanse of the land is ahead of them as they're in Gilgal. But he says, wait. The matters of covenant must be sorted out first. You see, what God required of Abraham is what God was requiring of the Israelites in Gilgal. Regardless of the shift in generations, God's requirements did not change. Regardless of the shift in generations, God required that first of all, they were faithful to him as their God and then faithful to the vision that he had given Abraham. And God will always require our commitment in these two areas. Listen, the reason some of us are not experiencing what God has in store for us is because our commitment to God and our commitment to his vision for our lives is wanting. Overnight after overnight, conference after conference, I mean, what book haven't you read? What sermon haven't you watched? And yet nothing is shifting. Could it be that you need to pay attention to the area of your commitment to your God? Could it be that you need to pay attention to the area of your commitment to his vision for your life? And God was saying to the nation of Israel, I will be your God and you will be my people. Here is the sign of that covenant. I want your hearts. I want your loyalty. I want your devotion. I want your undying commitment to me first. Yes, I've even brought you in the promised land. The whole of the promise is before you, but I want your heart. And we're told, church, I hope we hear the voice of God this morning saying, son, daughter, I want your heart. I want to be your God. I want you to be my child. I want to be your father. I want us to be in relationship. Don't just chase after the blessing. Chase after me. I want to be number one in your life. I want to be your priority. And this is what God was saying to the nation of Israel. Now, for some reason, possibly, and this is my own opinion, Moses had a lot to deal with in the wilderness. He had forgotten about this circumcision thing. Because these are millions of people. And when you read the story of the Exodus, these were not just millions of people. They are millions of difficult people. And so possibly on his list of priorities, circumcision slipped. But you see how gracious God is. He brings them to the land of promise. And says, but now, renew your covenant with me. And I sense in this place, some of us might be in that season. You feel like some things are shifting. It seems like you're just about to inherit the promise. You can smell it, you can touch it, you can see it. Possibly you've been there for a while. And God may be drawing your attention this morning to some things that are more important than the possession of the promise. Which is, where do you stand with God this morning? How is your relationship with God? You know, the easy thing for us is to shout, bold, strong, courageous, go for it. But where do you stand with God this morning? How is your commitment to His vision for your life, to His purpose for you, to His standards for you? Where do you stand with God this morning? This morning is not one of those sermons where we're going to clap and shout in Jesus' name. But it's a moment for us to look inside and say, where do I stand with God? Have I become so consumed with the possession of territory that I might have missed some things? And it's time to say, God, I'm getting my priorities in order. You will be number one in my life. So the question is, if you're not committed to God, what is at stake? Because you might be in this place and you say, but this commitment thing is overrated. Sunday in, Sunday out, you're telling us to commit to God. Give me a word, Pastor. Give me something deep this morning. Let me tell you what is at stake if you do not commit. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 6. The Israelites had moved about in the wilderness 40 years until all the men who of military age when they left Egypt had died, since they had not obeyed the Lord. For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land He had solemnly promised their ancestors, to give us a land flowing with milk and honey. See, when God is not first, you will completely miss out on what God has for you. I can tell you story after story after story of people who have settled for less than what God had for them. They settled for what money could give them. They settled for what connections could give them. They settled for what power could afford them. They settled for what corruption could bring. They settled for what their own experience and their own might could give them. But they ended up missing out on what God had for them. The children of Israel constantly looked back and complained about Egypt. And at some point they were putting together a committee to lead them back to Egypt. Because that's what happens sometimes when you're not committed to this vision. They had been in slavery for 400 years. They cried out to God. He sent them a deliverer. But halfway the journey, they say, take us back. And the lack of commitment to go the whole way with God, to cross the line and say, God, I'm all in. I'm going where you want me to go. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to live the way you want me to live. I'm going to be what you want me to be. I'm going to think the way you want me to think. I'm going to speak the way you want me to speak. Lord, I'm going all in. That lack of commitment nearly cost them. But you know what? Everyone in the desert that didn't obey the Lord died. And a generation, a portion of them were spared. Those who were 20 years old and above, and two men, Joshua and Caleb. Could it be that you're not experiencing what God has in store for you? Because you're constantly looking back and you're looking at options and you have failed to go all in with God. I think about our story as we're told to Gary and Marilyn. So committed to God. This was a country people were running away from, and yet for them it's a country they came to. And in many places, their commitment was tested. One day, Marilyn was on the floor complaining. And God said to her, listen, I didn't call you to this place to be crippled by fear. I called you to this place to walk by faith. Faith over fear. And her commitment to God, even in the midst of suffering and many trials, was stirred up again. Friends, because of their commitment 40 years ago when this country was nothing to come to, 40 years later, we are beneficiaries of their commitment. Shall we thank God for people who are committed to His vision for their lives? My prayer is that your children will say about you 40 years from now, Dad was committed to God. Mom was committed to God's vision for her life. And 40 years later, they'll be walking in the fulfillment of promise because you paid the price to be committed. May that be your story. May that be your story in Jesus' name. But not only does God require our commitment, secondly, God fulfills His promise. Listen, as you walk boldly to pursue God's vision for your life, I want you to be reminded this morning, God fulfills His promises. He is a covenant-keeping God. And in verse 7 to 9, we read it, that God raised up their sons in their place, and these were the ones Joshua circumcised. They were still uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. See, God made a promise to Abraham. We read it in Genesis chapter 12. We read about the covenant in Genesis chapter 17. And that covenant was not just with Abraham, but with his descendants. They would possess the land. Now we have read that there is a generation that died because they disobeyed God, because they grumbled and they complained. They missed out on what God had for them. But God is so faithful that that was not the end of Israel's story. He raised up their sons in their place. See, God is so faithful to fulfilling His purposes and plans for you. God is so committed to His vision for your life. God was so faithful to Israel. He raised up their sons in their place. He said, "This generation might have missed it, but I'm going to work with the next generation to ensure that I fulfill what I have spoken." Because listen, what God has spoken, He will fulfill. But the interesting thing is that the story was not so straightforward. It started with Abraham and Sarah, who are going to be just the pioneers in this covenant. And they were past childbearing age and they couldn't have children. And yet God said, "I'm going to give you a son." The Bible says that Abraham was faithful and he hoped against all hope. Trusted God. God gave him a son. And yet somehow they ended up in slavery for 400 years. But God had their cry and sent them a deliverer. And then while they're on their way to freedom, they meet the Red Sea. And God parted the Red Sea. And now they're on the verge of the promise, but there is a river that is overflowing. And God parts the waters of the Jordan. And now they're at Gilgal, ready to begin conquering. And then God requires them to be circumcised. Now, sometimes you wonder, God, why? Why do you have to make it difficult? Have you ever felt like that? Okay, God, I understand you have a promise. But what is going on? Because you see, in Genesis 34, Jacob's daughter was raped. And the brothers were so angry. So they went to these people that raped their sister. And they fooled them. They say to them, "Oh, you want to marry our sister? That's okay. But here is, because we are circumcised people, we cannot give our sister to people who are not circumcised. So you get circumcised and then we'll work out everything. It'll be fine with us." So these guys were like, these guys are really so kind. They are willing to forgive us like that. And okay, let's get circumcised. When the guys were circumcised, Jacob and his sons came and killed all the men in the city. Now it was an act of vengeance. And Jacob was taken aback. He was like, "You've brought trouble between me and these people." Do you know what could have happened if the enemies of Israel knew that these guys were circumcised at Gilgal? Even their enemies who are now afraid of them would have come and crushed them. But God is so faithful that he protected them at Gilgal and no one came against them. You see, when God has spoken, he will fulfill. He will fulfill his promises. Numbers 23:19, God is not human that he should lie. Not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? God is so faithful. I want you to encourage two people around you this morning and tell them, don't give up. God will fulfill his vision for your life. And God removed the reproach of Egypt. In other words, their story of slavery and not having a home, God turned that story around, and now they're in the promised land. They're no longer wanderers. Their story has changed. They now have a home. But friends, this not only serves as an encouragement to us. Yes, God fulfills his promises, but it is also a warning that God will fulfill his promises, like he said to the Israelites, but he raised up their sons in their place. If we miss it, God will do it through someone else. If we miss it, God will do it through someone else. I pray that our story is never like that. I pray that you never miss it, but you catch it and run with it so that your story is, look what the Lord has done. I pray that that will be your story. I thank God that that's our story as Watoto Church. Gary and Marilyn caught it and ran with it. Now for our generation, we cannot miss it. We don't want God to bypass us. May God not bypass us today. May God not bypass this generation. May God not bypass you as an individual. God is faithful. He will bring about for you what he has promised you. But pay attention and keep in step with him so that he can bring about for you what he has promised you, in Jesus' name. And finally, not only does God require our commitment, not only will God fulfill his promises as we pursue God's bold vision for our lives. Here's the third and last thing I want you to know. God is our source. God is our source. I love this portion at the end of Joshua chapter 5, verse 10 to 11. It says, on the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land and leavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites. But that year, they ate the produce of Canaan. The children of Israel had come this whole way, and God had taken care of them in the wilderness. When they opened their mouths and began to complain about the vegetables of Egypt and the meat that they ate in Egypt, God sent food from heaven for them. It was manna and quail. And here is the goodness of God, who is our source. While he sent manna and quail, they had enough for each day. And then, because there are 7 days in a week, God is so faithful. He had instituted the Sabbath. Remember Exodus 20, you shall keep the Sabbath. So the Sabbath was the seventh day. On the sixth day, they were to take in as much as they could so that on the seventh day, no one has to work to find what to eat. They would simply just eat and bake and eat and bake and eat and bake. God is so faithful. The vision he has given for you, he will provide for it in Jesus' name. You don't have to worry and be anxious. Trust him. He provide. And here's the thing. Whenever they tried to take a little more, the manna would become maggots. Because in our human nature, we're always survival for the fittest. Hustle, hustle, hustle. But with God, you can rest in Him. He will take care of your needs according to His riches in glory. And so He did that for the children of Israel. And the day now that they're in the promised land and they celebrate the Passover, which by the way was a celebration of the fact that they were walking out of slavery. Today it is a celebration of now we are in the promised land. We remember how the Lord took care of us and delivered us, and now we are in the promised land. They celebrated first things first. Lord, thank you for bringing us this far. And the Bible says they ate of the good of the land, and after they ate the produce of the land, the manna stopped. The same God who provided for them in the wilderness was the same God who was going to sustain them in the promised land. In Deuteronomy, listen to this as we begin to land the plane, Deuteronomy 29, 5 to 6. For 40 years I led you through the wilderness, yet your clothes and sandals did not wear out. You ate no bread and drank no wine or other alcohol drink, but He provided for you so you would know that He is the Lord your God. This same God who made... Imagine your clothes growing with you for 40 years. You know, sometimes when we read some of these stories, we imagine having one shirt for 40 years. God must have protected them from some type of odor. I think they didn't have a certain odor. Of course, when you have the same clothes for 40 years, it's something else. But look at the goodness of God, that their sandals were growing with their feet. The same God who provided that vision to you is going to provide miracles of provision in Jesus' name. He is going to take care of you and your family. And yet at the same time, He's going to provide you natural means to provide for the vision. Which means as God provides, you will work hard and God will provide for the vision He's given to you. God is so faithful. Shall we give Him praise in the house today? Listen, God has an amazing vision for us as a church. God has an amazing vision for you. But God requires your commitment. God is faithful to fulfill His promise. But if we miss it, God will do it through someone else. Don't miss it. Stay faithful. And finally, God will be your source. The God of vision is also the God of provision in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for reminding us that although you've called us to an incredible vision, you demand our total commitment, our absolute commitment. You are faithful and you bring about what you have promised. But if we are not faithful to you, you're not limited to working through us. You can do it another way. But Lord, help us not to miss it, because we want you to do it in us and through us. But Lord, you who is the God of vision, you are the God of provision. So now we trust you. Now we commit ourselves to you, because you are faithful and committed to your vision for us. With every head bowed and every eye closed, this morning, the most powerful promise that God has made available to us is the promise of salvation. The promise of salvation is available to all of us, because the Bible says all of us have sinned against God and fallen short of His glory. But in order to provide for us the promise of salvation, Jesus Christ, our Savior, demonstrated commitment like no one else had and no one else ever will. He made His way to the cross and He laid down His life. Jesus died on that cross. He poured out His blood for us so that we may be saved. Jesus went all the way for us. And after 3 days He rose from the dead to show you that He has the power to save you, to sustain you in salvation, to give you a brand new life. This morning, I want you to know that the greatest miracle is not what God can do for you in terms of His vision for your life. The most important miracle of all is the miracle of salvation, where you turn away from your sin and surrender your life to Jesus. When you do that, you come into right standing with God. You become a child of God. And that's where you begin to experience God's vision for your life. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, you're in this place. And you say, Brian, today's my day. Surrender my life to Jesus. Wherever you are, whether you're upstairs or downstairs, surrender your life to Jesus this morning. Surrender your life to Jesus this morning. Would you lift up your hand? Here's what I want you to do. Lift up your hand. If you're saying, that's me, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. More than the miracle I need, I want you to be number one in my life. I surrender my life to you. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a child of God. Whether you're sitting upstairs or downstairs or in the overflow, lift up your hand. Lift up your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. I surrender my life to you. Thank you, God. Richly bless you. Just lift up your hand wherever you are. Jesus sees that hand. Thank you, my brother. God richly bless you. Jesus sees that hand. Wherever you are, just lift up your hand wherever you are. God loves you. Beyond the miracle, God wants to save you so that you're His son and daughter. That's where it all begins. Your relationship with God. Your relationship with God. Lift up your hand and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of my sin. I leave my sin behind me. I want to follow you for the rest of my life. Lift up your hand. Lift up your hand to him. He's faithful to forgive you. Some of you are saying, Lord, I recommit my life to you. Recommit your life to Jesus. Lift up your hand wherever you are. Lift up your hand. You're recommitting your life to Jesus. You're saying, Lord, I had lost my way, but I'm coming back to you. Thank you, my sisters. God bless you. Jesus sees those hands. Recommit your life to Jesus. You know you'd walked away from him, but he loves you. And he's saying, come back to me today. Recommit your life to me. Resurrender your life to me. Lift up your hand wherever you are. Lift up your hand wherever you are. Recommit your life to the Lord. Thank you, my brother. God bless you. Is there anybody else? It's the very last call. You're saying, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to be the Savior of my life. I want you to be the Master of my life. Lift up your hand. Recommit your life to Him. Thank you for lifting up your hand. You've lifted up your hand. Here's what I want you to do now. Would you pray this prayer after me? Mean every word that you're saying, because as you pray this prayer, you're making a personal commitment to Jesus. For total family, let's all pray together and encourage our friends who are making this commitment to Jesus. All of us together, as loud as we can, saying, Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I recognize that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, you are the only Savior. Today, I am asking you to forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean in your precious blood. Give me a brand new life. Jesus, I now receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And from this day, I believe that I'm born again, that I'm a child of God. I will live for you and I'll follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen. Shall we celebrate every miracle of salvation in the house today? A friend of mine is going to reach out to you. We would love to connect with you. You prayed that prayer. We want to help you grow to become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. One more time. Let's celebrate everyone that's given their hearts to Jesus this morning. Welcome to the family of God.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.